We are in the season of Lent. We're beginning our new series called The Blessed Life. And so today we're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, a couple of verses 16 through 18. So I invite you to hear these words that come from our Lord. Jesus, speaking to his followers, said this: "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." This is the word of God for the people of God, and together we can say, thanks be to God. Amen. Would you bow and pray with me and for me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship, gathered here in this place, gathered together online as we are. We know that you are always with us. We pray at this time you would pour out the power of your Holy Spirit upon us in a special way, for we know it's only by the power of your Spirit that I can speak, only by the power of your Holy Spirit that we can hear, only by the power of your Holy Spirit that we will be transformed. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Now, I guess for people who are giving up chocolate for Lent, I probably ought to issue a trigger warning. I think that's the thing you do these days. You offer trigger warnings for things that are problematic for people. But I have a question for you, simple question. How do you eat a Reese's peanut butter cup? Right? Are you a person who just kind of takes one big bite into the thing? Maybe someone just pops the whole thing into your mouth in one shot? Or maybe you're one of those people that kind of nibbles around the edges, right? Get all the thicker chocolate off the edge, and some people even then take the chocolate off the top and the chocolate off the bottom, right? You can eat it that way if you want. I mean, you can treat the chocolate and the peanut butter individually if you want to do that, but that's not the way Reese's was created to be eaten, right? That's not it. You know the commercial, right? It's two great tastes that taste great together, right? So it's supposed to be something that happens together. I'll come back to that in just a little bit. Like I said, we're starting our series called The Blessed Life in the season of Lent. So over these next 6 weeks, including today, we'll be looking at the ways that we can connect with the life that God has for us in Jesus Christ. So if you want to deepen your connection with God, if you want to increase the depth of your faith and discover more of the life that is truly life, then I want to encourage you to be in worship with us throughout the season of Lent as we talk about these different ways that you can do that. Today we're beginning with what I think is one of the most underutilized spiritual practices in the Christian tradition, and that's fasting. Fasting. Now what's interesting to me about fasting? There is no mandate in the Bible for fasting. No command, no instruction in the scriptures for that. I mean, we're going to talk about Sabbath. We can go to the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the Ten Commandments say. We'll talk about prayer. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians in his first letter, he says, pray without ceasing. Other times he says, in every situation, let your requests be made known to God in prayer, right? So there's an instruction, a command there. We'll talk about generosity. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, instruct those who are rich to be generous and willing to share. So there's an instruction. But for fasting, there's no command. There's no instruction. But there's numerous examples, right? Story after story of those who fasted. We can think of Moses. Moses, when he goes up on the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments, while he's up there, the people decide that Moses has gone off somewhere and they don't know where, and so they make this golden calf and they begin to worship the golden calf as the God who led them out of Egypt. And when Moses comes down off the mountain, he sees this. He tosses the tablets down on the ground. They shatter in pieces and he goes back up the mountain. It says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights as he was before God on behalf of the people, knowing how much they needed to repent and how much they needed the grace of God to intervene in this case. He fasted before God, right? Then there's Jesus. Jesus did the same thing. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and it was right before he started his public ministry. See, he got baptized by John the Baptist, right, in the Jordan, and as he came up out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him, it says, and then the Spirit led him out into the desert to be tempted, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So right before he begins this journey of his public ministry to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand, it's a time when he would be challenged by the teachers of the law, when he would be threatened with bodily harm. Eventually, he would be executed on the cross. And fasting seemed to be an essential part of his preparation and his commitment to doing what God was calling him to do. Here's why fasting, I think, is such an essential thing for Jesus, for Moses, and for us. Fasting is a powerful way to seek God and to connect with God with all of your being. It's a way that you can seek God and connect with God with all of your being. If you desire more of God, if you desire to live into that blessed life that God has for us, fasting is a powerful, powerful practice. And the reason I think it's powerful is because fasting, more than any other spiritual practice, connects our spiritual being with our physical being. Fasting, more than anything else, I think, connects our physical being with our spiritual being, because it's a practice that involves both body and spirit if we allow it to be that, right? And that connection between our physical being and our spiritual being, honestly, it often gets lost. The connection between the two often gets lost. The two parts of our being become disconnected, right? Seeking God and growing in faith is seen as kind of an internal process more than an external process. My body really isn't involved with that. That's just a matter of the heart. And the truth is, we can treat each part separately, but that's not how it was designed. Right, just like a Reese's peanut butter cup, we can treat each part separately, but that's not the way it was created to be dealt with, right? Here's what I hope you'll understand. Fasting is the one practice that engages the fullness of who we were created to be. See, we're not a body that contains a soul. We are not a soul that inhabits a body. We are both body and soul together. Go back to the story of creation, back to the book of Genesis, right? The very first pages of the Bible where it tells us about how all things were created. It tells us how God formed human beings out of the dust of the ground. He formed them. And then the story says that he gave that form life by breathing the breath of life into it, right? So he gives us the physical form of the body, but it's not alive until he breathes into it. The life we have, that God created us to have, is both physical and spiritual. So the fullness of our life is found in that connection between body and soul. Each one impacts the other. What the soul experiences impacts the body. Now, we all know this to be true. We may not think of it consciously, but I think we all know this and understand it. I mean, think about those moments in life where your internal self, right, your spiritual self, has a response to a situation that causes a physical reaction. Right? Yeah, a situation where the internal experience causes an external reaction. I'll give you an example that my family loves to make fun of with me. Right? Watching football. My wife's nodding her head. She already knows where this is going. Watching football, right? I'm watching the play unfold. And as I'm watching it, I start to lean in, right? Like I'm somehow affecting the play. Anybody else, right? Yeah, I see some people nodding out there. But, it, you know, like I'm going to do something, right? I'm having this emotional internal experience, but it's manifesting itself in my body involuntarily, it seems. I'm sure you can think of your own examples of the same thing. You know, your favorite song hits the Spotify list that you're playing, and you begin to tap your fingers or move your feet or bob your head. Right? You see your first grandchild or a friend's new baby, and you begin to cry, right? There's a physical manifestation of the internal experience that you're having. You lose a loved one, and the grief can be so deep that you can't even talk. Right? It's not a physical activity, it's a physical inactivity that comes because of that internal experience. I mean, sometimes for people, their grief is so great that they can't even bring themselves to eat. It's as if the internal emptiness is manifesting itself and mirroring itself in that physical emptiness, that desire to be physically empty, that bodily response, right? See, the connection between body and soul is a real connection. It's real in times of joy and hope. It's real in times of grief and pain. We've all had times when we felt that connection, times when the internal impact of an event led to a physical response. But as we talk about fasting, what's important to understand is that the reverse is also true. Our physical activity can influence our spiritual well-being. Our physical activity can influence our spiritual well-being. Again, we may not think about this consciously, but we know it to be true. I mean, think about those times when people are feeling hopeless or depressed. Not depressed in kind of a clinical diagnosis kind of way, but more of what I call being in a funk. You know? I mean, I'll confess to you, I am prone to bouts of moodiness, bouts of just finding myself in a funk. It's kind of that general sense of melancholy brought on by challenges that last for an extended period of time. Does anyone know of a time when you've experienced challenges that have lasted for an extended period of time? I mean, wasn't 21 supposed to be better than 20? Isn't that right? But you get into that funk sometimes because of those things. Times when a pandemic is coupled with a winter storm that takes out power and causes pipes to burst. I mean, no one would blame us right now for being in a funk. But what's the advice of experts? When you're in that kind of place, what do the experts suggest that you do? Take a walk. Do some stretching, maybe some yoga. Work out. Work in your garden. In other words, do something physical for yourself. Doing something physical is often given as the remedy for an internal or spiritual struggle. It's not all the answer, but it helps. And it helps because our physical activity influences our spiritual well-being. I'll give you an example that I've been doing for the past a few weeks. Just in 2021 now. As Methodist pastors, we are kind of a self-insured group here in the Texas Annual Conference, which means the healthier we are, the less it costs us for paying for the insurance. And so in those savings, they pass those savings on to us in various ways. And one of the ways is they give us a rebate. It happens through an app called Virgin Pulse. And we keep track of various different things that help us to be healthy, right? On that app, we can track things like the hours we slept, right? Because 7 to 9 hours means that's a healthy range for you to be in. So you keep track of how many hours a night you sleep. You can track the steps that you've taken or the workouts that you do. And each of those will get you points. And the more points you get, the more money back you get as a refund over time. Now, there's one section of this app that has made a real difference for me this year. And it's a simple little place where it says, what's your mood, right? What's your mood? You click on that, and this screen comes up, all right? So you can see it goes from really bad to really good, right? Now, usually those are all the same color. I just kind of highlighted the one that I've been clicking on this year, right? The one that says good mood, all right? That's the one I pick. It's not the really great one, but the one that's just a smile, right? And so that's, to me, that's good mood. And so I click on that. Every day I click on good mood because I decided that's what I'm going to do, right? Now, I might go up to the bigger smile, but I'm not going to go down. I might go up to the bigger smile in a couple of weeks. We're going on vacation. I might go up to the bigger smile because we're going to be in a warm location. So I might go up to the bigger smile, but I'm never going to go down. But I tell you what, that wasn't true in 2020. Put that screen back up there for a second. In 2020, you might be able to see which one I did in 2020. Okay, so there's the choice I had. In 2020, my choice most days I chose the one that's just that slanted straight line. That meh. What's your mood? Meh. That was kind of 2020, wasn't it? Meh. I don't know. Not so great. But I made the decision in 2021 that every morning I would get up and I would pick the good mood option at a minimum. Again, I might go up, but I wasn't going to go down. Now, did my life magically get easier and so I picked good mood? No. Has life been better so far in 2021? Not really. Right? Yet each morning I click on good mood, and here's what happens. I end up in at least a decent mood. I end up in a decent mood. I pick good mood. And I go, good mood. Okay, I guess I'll be in a good mood. I mean, it literally happens every time I click that. Okay, I guess I'll be in a good mood. When I click meh, a lot of times my day was kind of meh. Kind of reminds me, you know, Paul says we should rejoice always, right? Well, I'm also trying to do that on a regular basis. But the point is, even on that app, that simple physical act of clicking good mood has actually had an impact on my spiritual well-being. And the reason it happens is because that's how we were created. We were created that way, body and soul. When we engage the two things together, it is the most powerful way to connect with God and to connect with that blessed life that God has for us. And that's why we as a church have regular physical activities as part of our life together. Right? We have things we do that help us to connect to God in a more powerful way. And the name of those things is called ritual. There are rituals that we do that are physical acts that make a difference. Physical acts that not only are good for our spiritual well-being, but help us in our commitment, right? As Jesus was fasting before he went into his public ministry as a way to help him in his commitment to what God was calling him to do. In the same way, rituals and physical acts help us to solidify our commitments. Think about a wedding. I looked this up. You know, I'm an agent of the state basically for doing weddings because I'm a Christian minister. It's legally done if I marry someone. But there's no requirement for a ceremony in Texas. It's completely unnecessary to have a wedding. I can simply have two people in my office and say, do you? And they say yes. And I just sign the paper and they're married. There's no requirement for me to go through any particular ceremony for the people. But there's a reason for the ceremony. And it's not just to make it a beautiful day and to have great pictures to look back on. It's because the physical act of walking up that aisle and standing in front of family and friends and holding hands and exchanging rings, those physical acts help strengthen the commitment that we're making to each other, right? I think you get it, right? Engaging in our physical activities impacts our spiritual well-being. Engaging in a physical activity can create a deeper connection and a stronger commitment with God and with each other. And so I want to invite you this Lenten season to a physical practice that will influence your spiritual well-being. I want to invite you actually to a physical inactivity. A physical inactivity that can help deepen your connection to God and strengthen your commitment to God. Fasting. It's an underutilized but powerful means of spiritual development. And the choice to fast, it's completely up to you. There's no command. There's no instruction. There's an encouragement. I mean, listen again to what Jesus says here in Matthew's gospel. He's talking to his followers. In verse 16, he says, when you fast, right? He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. He says, when you fast. And when you fast, wash your face, wash your hair. Don't go about making it look like you're fasting and suffering, because fasting isn't about the suffering. Let it be between you and God. Let it be about that blessed life that God wants you to have, the work God wants to do in you and the work God wants to do through you. Again, it's not mandated, but it's encouraged. So I want to encourage each of us to consider that practice of fasting. And I'm really not talking about how in Lent you give up something like chocolate or alcohol like Deborah talked about on the video. I'm really talking about that. I'm talking about fasting. But how you fast is, again, up to you. There's no regulations for fasting and how it happens. I mean, I can tell you my own practice right now, and I'll confess, I just started this again recently. I've been doing it for a while, then I stopped. Now I've picked it back up again. My own practice right now is one day a week. I eat a light breakfast early in the morning, and then I eat a light supper later in the evening. So I kind of fast throughout that kind of a 12-hour period that I am fasting. Some of you are doing intermittent fasting as a way to be physically fit or lose weight or whatever. If that's you, then you might have to skip one meal a day because that's the only meal that you're eating if you're fasting for a spiritual reason. But there's a lot of ways that you can do it. In the early days of Methodism, John Wesley and the followers of Jesus who were known as Methodists back then, even way back in the early church, they fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays, much in the same way that I did, the way that I do. They would eat something small in the morning, something late in the evening. But on Wednesdays and Fridays, they would fast every week, not just during Lent. So what your fast looks like is really between you and God. We're not here to tell you what the fast has to be, but I do hope that you'll give it a try, that you'll do something. I mean, Deborah, she said she did what I did, but she did it like 5 days a week or 6 days a week, whatever it was that she did. That's pretty amazing, and you can do that. You can do it 1 day a week, 2 days a week, whatever it is that works for you, however that works. I invite you to try fasting in the season of Lent. Just make this season a time to kind of dip your toe into that water. And remember this, it's not magic. It's not magic. Fasting isn't going to make your prayers more powerful or your life more successful automatically, but it can strengthen your spirit. It can fortify your relationship with God, but it's a matter of knowing in those moments as you're fasting that you're making this physical effort in order to gain a spiritual benefit, right? For your spiritual well-being. The key is to remember that the hunger that you feel physically is just like the hunger that you have spiritually. As Deborah said, it drove her to reading the scripture more, to praying more, to engaging more with God, right? If you are purposeful about this and the intent of what fasting is, it can make a real difference to fill your spirit just like you want to fill your stomach. When you're fasting, just you long to fill your stomach, realize that your soul is longing to be filled as well. And as you go through that practice, I promise you, if you will give yourself to it in this way for this reason, you will experience a more blessed life in Jesus Christ. Let's bow together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for encouraging us to this time of fasting. We long to know you. We long to know a life with you, the life that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us to have. As he was raised up to new life, we're raised up to new life, and we want the fullness of it. So as we enter into this season of Lent, as we take on some form of fasting, we pray, oh God, that you would help us remember that physical inactivity will do something spiritually beneficial for us, because that's what we were created for, body and soul connected to you. So bless us as we go through this season. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.